One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. Happy Sunday. And welcome to this NTEB House Church Sunday service, where our message today will be what your King James Bible says about having peace in the midst of trials, difficulties, and struggles. The word peace appears exactly 429 times in your King James Bible. The first time it's ever mentioned is when God is prophesying over Abraham in Genesis 15. We would do well to take note of that, as Paul says in Galatians 3:29, that the born-again believer is the seed of Abraham. When you read through both testaments, peace becomes an elusive commodity all the way up to the false peace under Antichrist. But did you know that real, true, and lasting peace is one of the attributes of Jesus Christ? He is called the King of Peace, and this world will not know peace until the second advent. But for those of us who are saved and in the body of Christ, we can have that peace right here and right now. And the question that we ask today is, do you have it? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are not in the age of signs, miracles, and wonders, but God is still doing miracles. Mainly, the miraculous and supernatural action of seeing lost souls getting saved, even at this late hour. For the Christian, peace comes from being satisfied in your salvation. Something that's easy to say, but hard to do. How easily we let the cares of this life, sickness, bills, children, jobs, finances, marriage, divorce, and all the rest, slowly eat away at our joy in the Lord until peace seems all but gone. Instead of peace, the root of bitterness. I see many saved Christians walking around in a bitter spirit with hate in their hearts. These things ought not to be when we know the King of Peace. Today's message will address what I feel is perhaps the number one problem afflicting Christians today, having no peace and no joy despite being saved and heading for heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for your peace that you give us through salvation. And from the moment that we entered into that right relationship with you, Lord, you have given us so much. And one of those things is your peace. And Father God, today we pray for everybody, every born-again saved Christian in the body of Christ who is hurting today, who does not have peace in their life, who don't even know how to find it, even though they are your child. And Lord, we just pray for your peace to come to this world, and we know that that will not and cannot take place until the second advent. And Lord, we are just so glad and so thankful that we're saved and that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And Father God, we just commit this time to you as we always do, this Sunday service. And we ask you to meet with us now and lead us and guide us. And Lord, we ask all these things and give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Happy Sunday. It is a cold but beautiful day here in Northeast Florida, and I don't know what the weather is like where you are, but hopefully the storm has passed for the vast majority of people across the country. If you listen to the podcast on Friday, there is a storm that is brewing, that is gaining in intensity with each passing day, but it has nothing to do with the weather. It is the storm of the end times, and we are in the midst of them. We are in the beginning of sorrows, and we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, as we say every Sunday, we are not a church, we are the church, and we'd like to welcome you to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us, it's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you and me. So blinded by
each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church. Its doors are open. Come as you are. We know no boundaries. There are no stars. If you are broken, come see God's heart. If you are
Amen. And before we get started today, let's take a moment to wish our fellow NTEB-er Andrew a very happy birthday today. Amen. Happy birthday, Andrew. The Bible says in Romans 10:15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And then Paul says again in Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God," that's our kingdom, "is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." He says, Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And on, the Apostle Paul tells us about the type of peace that we, as born again, saved, sealed, church age Christians should be experiencing. Romans 15:33, "Now the God of peace be with you all." Amen. Let's see what else he says. 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Now, the Apostle Paul also says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, talking about the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Psalms chapter 9, I think it's verse 17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And so you start in Genesis, you end in Revelation, and you see a completely balanced picture of what peace is, who has it, who doesn't have it, who wants it, who needs it, and most of all, how you obtain it. And the Bible has a lot to say about these things. And today, I want to speak for just a little bit, when we get to the message part of the service today, on biblical peace for the church age, New Testament, born again, sealed unto the day of redemption Christian. You know, a lot of people think that, okay, I got saved, I made the great exchange, and I heard the gospel, and I received it, and I believed it. That's great. But that's only a starting point. Paul says this, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know what one of the main parts of your salvation is? It's called your sanctification. You know where your peace lies? It lies, well, God's peace lies in your salvation. Jesus Christ is the peace of God. He is the reconciliation of God. But as far as you go, your day-to-day life, There is your eternal life where you are saved and sealed unto the day of redemption. And then there's your everyday life, where you've got to wake up and you got to put on clothes, you got to go to a job, you got to eat food, you got to interact with other people, you got to sit in traffic, and it is the dull, boring, day-to-day realities that can be aggravating and mind-numbing, and if you lose your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will lose your sense of peace. You can't lose your salvation, but you can absolutely lose that. Remember when you first got saved? I'm coming up on 33 years of walking with the Lord. And I can remember how excited that I was when I first got saved. And I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And then that goes along for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then you start hitting roadblocks, and then you start hitting problems, and then you start losing friends, and sometimes you alienate family members, and then all of a sudden it seems like the bloom has faded a little bit on the rose of your salvation. And that's why it is good to get back to exactly what your salvation is and what God did to save you. The Bible says, and thank God for his unspeakable gift, that he would come down here and put on human flesh, live a perfect sinless life for 33 years, allow his own creation to crucify him and whip him and beat him and mock him and humiliate him. And he lived the type of life that you and I live, only he lived it perfectly and we don't. So today I want to talk to you about peace. And the Bible says that you can have that peace that passes all understanding in the midst of struggles and depression and fears and battles and ups and downs and backsliding and sidesliding and whatever else that a Christian can go through. Through it all, God's peace, if you're saved, God's peace is a constant. And if you reach that point in your life where you are no longer feeling that peace of God, it is because you have taken your eyes off of the prize that the Apostle Paul says that he is pressing towards that mark to obtain. So I hope that today's message will be a blessing to you. And look, if you can get a hold of God's peace, and the only way that you can have God's peace is you got to be saved. If you're listening to this program and you're not saved, the Bible says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that's to die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. But in the same passage, it goes on to say this: for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, he watched Paul and Silas do an amazing thing, and he says to them in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And if you're not saved today, it is our prayer and our hope that something will be said and done that will convince you and convict you of your lost condition. But we have good news. And that good news is that Jesus died for sinners. And if you're lost today, that's exactly what you are. If you're saved today, that's exactly what you are. And Jesus Christ died to save sinners. and he'll save you today if you will receive the gospel. We're so glad that you're here today at the bottom of the hour. We are going to go into our time of prayer and praise. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it in the chat room and we'll be happy to add it to the list. Lots of needs today.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught
consider all I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, today. We pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great grandbabies. We're praying for Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland Carrier, and their families, my two brothers, John and David, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members in the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, Susan Weirs Bickey is asking prayer for daughters Valerie and Marie, and husband and son, both named Greg, Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob have unsaved Catholic family members. Connie has three unsaved kids. Rita in Colorado praying for Dan. Ron needs to be saved. Spray of Sunshine, Sons, Daniel Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Jan Lacker praying for son David. Barbara praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer praying for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen's kids, Jason and Tiffany, grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody. Mark Sherlock praying for Savannah and her mom, Stephanie. Werner Bukes praying for Bob and Abby. Junie, Grant, and their dad to be saved. Kathy Hughes' son for salvation. Haley is praying for Zane. Lulu has unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to be saved. Various members of the Giacomino family for salvation. Dawn D is praying for David, who is a Catholic, to get saved. Paul Caulfield praying for Father Fred and brother-in-law Frank. Ramona Hayes would like salvation prayer for daughter Kimberly and for her to be delivered from alcohol. Also, please pray for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda, for and their families to be saved. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P. praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shanna, Lori B., Shira McPherson praying for children Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather Irvin, Mark Fennell. Kevin Thompson praying for his father Tim and various family members. Steve Graves and Elga, they need to be saved. Rob is asking prayer for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T. praying for her husband. Summer Robbins praying for her dad, Brian A. Robbins. Todd Broom's brother, Thad. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie praying for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. And they say both families have strong ties to the occult and Roman Catholicism, which is basically the same thing. Joe Rusiello asking salvation prayer for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen praying for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace would like salvation prayer for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, Jason and Carrie. Lola's son, William, and wife, Lindsay, Hannah's mom. Anja praying for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans praying for his friend Taylor. Viviana praying for her brother Javier Reyes. Adam and Katie praying for neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates praying for her sons Kenny and Matthew to get saved. Jane praying for son Troy. Julie Lynn praying for her friend Katie Ann. Chona praying for Estefano Jr., Eugenia and her kids Maricel and Cherry, and her siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton praying for his son Jacob and mom Lynette. Samantha praying for Beth, Deborah Hare, unsaved family members, Rita, unsaved Catholic family members, Teresa, unsaved family members, Lisa, Father John, Annabelle has unsaved children, Deborah Milton's son Billy. Hap Nightingale praying for his sons Jimmy and Zach. Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia need to be saved. Norman Merkel praying for his daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and his child's mother Lynette Crew. Henrik Larson praying for his parents Kygel and Elizabeth, sister and spouse Ingrid and Frederick, and Aunt Barrett, who is 95. Roz would like salvation prayer for lost family members. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington. Marisol Barcina praying for Catholic family members. Rapture 57 unsaved family members. Gail is praying for Jim, Shirley Meador, praying for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Huey praying for his parents Anna and Norillo. and members of his family and co-workers. Tony the Carpenter and his son Cole, Kenny B., praying for unsaved family. Rachel K., praying for unsaved family and friends. Sandra C., unsaved Catholic family members. Marky Mark, unsaved relatives and neighbors. Regina Danner, praying for Kelly, Chris, Cisco, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy. Haley's aunt and family for salvation. Carol from Georgia, praying for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. The Breida family, Stacy Bunton, praying for her husband to get saved. Rachel Adams, praying for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley, to overcome addiction and to get saved. Mark, praying for his sons, Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter, Michaela. Mitch, praying for his daughters, Rachel and Hannah, and their husbands. Please pray for the delivery workers who service the bookstore. I don't think any of them are saved. Jericho would like salvation prayer for his family. Brenda's husband, Paul. Kenny would like salvation prayers for friends and family. Amanda, praying for Melanie and Payton. The Muto family. Steph is praying for Michael. Terry, praying for her family. Xavier, praying for his mom, Reyes, wife, Salma, daughters, and various family members. Maria Silva, praying for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn, praying for her children, Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown, praying for her mother-in-law. The LaPiana family, salvation prayer for extended family members. Dave Evans, praying for Diana. Sue Duchesne, praying for son Norman. CJ's mom needs to be saved. Shira Shine, praying for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis. Loretta Watsney's husband and children need to be saved. Rebecca Lynn, salvation prayer for Joel Smith. Shirley, praying for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard. Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Monice, and her husband, Hamid. Marianne Ellie's children, John, Anne Marie, and Christine. And her grandkids, Marianne Ellie's children, John, Anne Marie, and Christine, and her grandchildren, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace, please pray for son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shanna, and grandson Caden. Beth Peck's husband David for salvation, as well as her children Heather and Damien. Terry Ewing's daughter Bryn, Teresa M.'s sons James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mom Alicia. Patricia T. praying for son Adam. Chelsea and Brian Plagman praying for son Bryce and girlfriend Eva. Zuzana for salvation. Vladimira would like prayer for her husband Ken and her friend Katka for salvation. Steph is praying for her brother Michael. Cassandra praying for her husband Todd and sons Nathan and Cassandra praying for her husband Todd and sons Nathan and Andrew and her son Sonny, who is backslidden. Marie Sim praying for her ex-husband, who is a Mason, to get saved. Also for her son John and his family, daughter Tracy and her family. Jean-Paul Mesa, please pray for my Catholic mom and family members to get saved. Deborah Mack, please pray for John and Brenda. Zach Jeffson's mom for salvation, Katrina. Chelsea P. praying for Mike T. Mia in Texas, salvation for children Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ. Holly says, please add my husband Nick to the prayer list for salvation. Rob is praying for Eddie. And Deborah Mack says, please add my friend at the gym. Her name is Brandy, and her whole family needs to get saved. Brandy, husband Evan, daughter Anna, and son Aiden. Got a full list today, and for those of you who ask from time to time, the salvation list is way too long to do it on every broadcast. So on Sunday, we do the entire thing, and then during the week, we do a third until we get the whole list done. People who need a healing today. At the very top of the list, we have Lori Ann's mom and my mother-in-law, Joyce. Last week, they found a lump on her breast, and they went in and they did tests, and they found things that concern the doctors with her lymph nodes and with the lump. So please put Lori Ann's mom, Joyce, at the very top of your prayer list. Thank you. My brother Jimmy. Well, he continues to defy the doctors. And 2 weeks ago, they were telling us he could die any day, having severe kidney and liver issues, and amongst a whole host of other things. And he's in rehab now, and he's learning to walk again. And I don't know what the future holds for him, but I know this. We put him on the list when we found out 3 weeks ago. Lori and I went up there to see him, drove through a storm to get there, laid hands on him and prayed over him. And the very next day, his condition began to improve. And when I say that this prayer list is very important to this ministry, that is an incredible understatement. And when we pray for each other, that's the greatest weapon and power that we have. Aside from telling lost people how to get saved, God has given us the ability to pray, and he hears it, and he answers according to his will. Amanda Emma. Possible return of cancer, and her husband, Matthew, work over at the Ark Christian School here in St. Augustine. So please pray for Matt's wife, Amanda Emaw, possible return of cancer. Sharon McIntosh, my sister Shirley, had a hernia operation, and please pray for her recovery. And hopefully she has recovered by now. If you're listening, please give us an update. Annetta needs to be able to have a full healing to be able to walk again after having a stroke in 2022. David asking prayer for Mom Laura, who had a stroke. Sadie has heart-related issues. Derek O'Reilly has anxiety. Kevin Thompson has been getting light-related headaches. Daniel in Australia. Please pray for a healing in my marriage, God's blessing on my kids, recovery from various health issues for my wife and myself. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis, a neuroimmune disease. George H. has health issues. James Rivette, recovering from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley, battling ALS. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Paul Caulfield is battling type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp has autism. Krista has a massive tumor in her chest. Dan Kane's wife, Roxy, has MS and also wants prayer for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Craig has numerous health issues that the Lord is seeing him through. Please keep Craig in your prayers. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy, I have severe arthritis in my spine, diabetes type 2, and a fatty liver. Linda Pippin, and she somehow got knocked off the list. I'm putting her back on. She has neuropathy and something, fibromyalgia. So please pray for Linda Pippin. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Melissa B's husband, Brian, has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. Daughter Norcha has complications with her thyroid. Oh, Linda Pippin was taken off the list because she's taken off the list. Well, amen. Amen. Casey has lupus and kidney issues. Jane, please pray for the salvation of my parents and brother and a healing for my husband. Brooke's sister Ashley has MS. Jackie H. needs God's favor regarding custody of her son. Katka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has bone marrow cancer. Stacy is going through a divorce and needs wisdom. Terry Horn, I've had several strokes. Please pray for me. Casey, please keep my husband on your list. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Matthew Morrow is recovering from a relapse with alcohol. Tom Rance is recovering from a stroke and a brain bleed. Julius says, please keep my mother Erlinda and niece Rochelle on the prayer list for health. Brooke's friend Birdie had a stroke. Jeanette's sister Kisabel is improving slightly after eye surgery. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. Ashley DeShields is battling West Nile virus. Teresa G. suffers from macular degeneration. Shira Shine, please keep my family in prayer. My son and his wife have cut me out of their life. And please pray for a healing in Shira Shine's family. Ladies who are expecting, our daughter Megan Burton, Christy Ireland, Char's daughter Miranda, Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana and her sister Christina, Sarah Ann Severson is expecting her first baby in May, and Spray of Sunshine would like prayer for her son and his girlfriend who are expecting twins. Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Jan Lacker, she said, I spent New Year's Eve in the ER after hurting my back after knee surgery. And please pray for Jan Lacker, for her family, her kids, for her husband and her marriage, and for her physical healing. Char says that their jail ministry has not reopened yet, and praying that the jail will allow them to come back. Linda would like prayer for son Stephen, who needs to return to the Lord. Julie Baird, prayers about living situation and finances. Deborah Mack says, please pray for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass, her son Tristan, has been missing since November, and we are praying that he will come home safely. Linda LaPiana, please pray for kids Danielle, Stephen, and Christopher to return to the Lord. Also, prayers for Stephen and his wife Hannah's financial situation. People with an unspoken today. I know Linda Pippin has one. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Adrian Breda, Debbie Mathias, Rachel Adams, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Irad Bairu Mumishu, Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Julie Baird, Amanda Stern, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Lulu, and there's Linda Pippin again. Okay, she is on the list. Also, please keep our free Bible and gospel tract program in your prayers. That whole thing is run through the NTEB bookstore. Without that bookstore and shipping center, there would be no free Bible and gospel tract program. So please pray for that part of our ministry. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Ree, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Fo John. In Turkey, Luann is an American missionary to the Muslims. In India, Pastor David Mark. In the UK, street preacher Stephen McCarroll. In Uganda, Irad Bairu Mumishu. And in Spain, we have Xavier. Please remember our NTEB street preachers. Up in New York City, we have Brian Kelly, pastor of the King James Bible Baptist Church. Kyle and Reagan Gorzel in Baton Rouge. Street preacher Marie in Philadelphia. Mike Avram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Jay in New York City. Joe Rusiello in Eagle Pass. Joshua Gaskins has a gospel tract ministry in Virginia. And Aaron and Teresa McMahon with CPR Missions. Up in Canada, please keep Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, and Werner Bukes in your prayers. Also, Adrian sent me a text message the other day, and he has followed the Lord in baptism. And please keep Adrian Breda in your prayers. God is definitely working on him, and he is excited about being baptized. In South Africa, we have Arthur Uys, and in Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. All right, let's go to the chat room for today, and let's see what we have. Jeanette from Wisconsin, Unspoken. Erad's baby, Maranatha, is 1 year old tomorrow, and what a blessing for her. 1 year old tomorrow. Andrew has an unspoken. Charlie on the highway. That's our brother Charlton, and I kind of like that new handle. Charlie on the highway. Please pray a healing for Deb and for our friend Heidi. Guidance for Heidi's daughter Haley. All are saved. Thank you. And we will be happy to do that. I'll talk about that after this. Lord, we come before you and we thank you and we praise you. And Father God, this prayer ministry that you've given us is the most powerful weapon that we have. And we are just so glad that we can pray and you can hear and you can answer according to your will for each and every one of us, according to your riches and glory, Lord. And Father God, for everybody who needs to be healed, we ask you to do a mighty work. Everybody who needs reconciliation and restoration, we ask you to heal and restore and guide and bless and protect. And Father God, for those of us who don't have peace today, for anybody who's lost in listening, we pray that you would allow something to be said and done today, Lord, that would lead a lost soul to you. Annabelle says, I have an unspoken prayer. Jeanette says that Erad's daughter is our very first NTEB baby. And what a blessing that that is. And Lord, we need to be praying for all these things and for all these people and for all these situations. And we ask you to work and move as only you can, Father God. And Lord, we are just glad and we're grateful. And we come before you today. And God, we acknowledge that if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. Charlie on the highway says, please pray for my wife, Deb. Overall chronic health condition, nerve issues. She slipped and fell the other week. And Deb's friend, Heidi, she's dealing with complicated health issues. And her daughter, Haley, she has things going on. And they're all bunking down at Charlton's house. So please pray a special prayer for Charlton and Deb and Haley and Heidi and you know, sometimes God calls us to minister on a very large level, and sometimes he calls us to minister on a micro level. And would you believe me if I told you that both those things are equally important? That it's just as important to reach one soul as it is to reach the entire world. And God has called each and every one of us to a different job to do. God has set aside different things for different people. And the Apostle Paul says this about the body of Christ. He says that in the body of Christ there is and I'm just trying to think of the verse off the top of my head, where he talks about the diversity of gifts, and he talks about the eye and the hand. What is that verse? Where would be the hearing? Sometimes it's hard to keep these thoughts in my head. I can't think of the verse off the top of my head. If you know it, please post it into the chat room. The Apostle Paul talking about the diversity of gifts. Shall the hand say to the foot? Shall the eye say to the ear? That whole thing, I can't think of it off the top of my head. But that is truly how God has set up the body of Christ here in the church age. And some of us are called to very large things. Some of us are called to very small things. Shannon, 1 Corinthians 12. That's it. That's it. Sometimes my hard drive just gets full. there's just no other way to say it. Where is that? Here it is. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, and that would be freaky, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Verse 20 says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And if you're saved today, you are part of what Paul calls the mystery of the body of Christ. And we are all called to do a job, and we are all called to get something done for the Lord. And every job that each and every one of us has been given is equally important in God's sight and in the salvation of lost souls and the setting on fire of saved people. Please pray for the ministry of Now the End Begins. God is taking this ministry into an exciting new phase. And phase one, 2009 to 2020, started out as a hobby. Then it became a passion. And then in 2020, God greatly expanded it, and he turned it into a ministry. And here in 2024, I guess we would call this phase three. And God is rearranging things. He's bringing new people in. He's moving things around. And he is opening the reach that we have. He is expanding our borders. He is increasing our reach. And lots of new and exciting things coming down the pike in 2024 for the ministry of Now the End Begins. We are growing again. And so please keep this ministry in your prayers, that God would give me and Lori Ann much wisdom as we go forward in 2024, and there is so much work that remains to be done. We don't know when the rapture is going to be, but we want to get as much done as we can before we come to that end. So please pray for us here at Now the End Begins. Lots of exciting new things, including brand new billboard that we have going up in Baton Rouge with our partners Kyle and Reagan Gorzel. Now, for those of you in the chat room, we are going to give you a sneak preview as to what the new billboard is going to look like. It's going up tomorrow in Baton Rouge. And for the last 3 years, Now the End Begins has partnered with Kyle and Reagan Gorzel. And I have spoken many times about the amazing street corner ministry that God has given them. And they hand out hundreds of Bibles, thousands of gospel tracts, and they're seeing souls getting saved through their ministry on a regular basis. And we are very, very happy to be partners with them. And it's funny because the first time that I ever met Kyle, he reached out and said, could I book some time to speak with you on the phone? And I said, sure, that would be great. And he told me that he was a lukewarm Laodicean, didn't even have a King James Bible, but he didn't want to remain in that condition. And man, oh man, how exciting it has been watching his growth and the ministry that the Lord has given him and Reagan in Baton Rouge. And this is the third year of the billboard that we have had with them. And for those of you in the chat room, here is a special sneak preview of tomorrow's billboard going up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And look, every single one of us at one point needed to get on fire for God. Every single one of us at some point had our fire for God grow dim. And maybe we just kind of retreated into ourselves. Maybe we entered into a season of backsliding. Whatever the case may be. Look, we say about this ministry all the time that this is the church of the broken pieces. And we are. And I consider myself the chief broken piece. Some people would say a cracked pot, but that's fine. All of us are broken vessels that God reached down after he saved us and said, let me dust that off. Let me fill in that crack. Let me get you back on your feet. And this ministry will always be a ministry of the broken pieces and helping Christians to get back on track, back in the game, and back on fire for Jesus Christ. And to me, that's the greatest ministry of them all. And I am so happy. Here we are in year number 15 of Now the End Begins, and God is still doing new things with all of the cracked and broken pieces that he has assembled and called together here in these last days. Charlie on the highway says, I'm praying for truck setup, utilizing my driving skills to fill the truck up with Bibles and get them delivered where they are needed in the USA. Pray for me in this pursuit, Lord willing. That's our brother Charlton with his new handle, Charlie on the Highway. I like it. And God is doing a work in his heart and his mind. And please pray for Charlton and his wife, Deb, to get something done for the Lord. Their hearts are in the right place, and they are on fire, as are each and every one of us. So glad that you're here today. One or two more uplifting songs, and then we're going to get right into our message. What your King James Bible says about having peace in the midst of trials, difficulties, and struggles. We'll be right back after this.
Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner will soon become his own? Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. Spirit has been working to soften up a heart. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joy there is that day? As the sinner bows his head to pray, can't you hear the Father say? Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. Start construction. There on Hallelujah Street, he doesn't know yet what is waiting when the Savior he'll meet. He'll meet. Go sound the horn.
Go sound the horn.
Strike up the choir.
Strike up the choir.
A sinner is saved.
A sinner is saved.
Saved from the fire. No more in darkness. Receive my son, all heaven rejoices, that's the value of one, all heaven rejoices, that's the value of one.
For the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen, amen. Revive us again. Before we get into the message today, let me just give you a quick update on the free Bible and Gospel Track program and Bibles Behind Bars. If you remember back in December 15th, we told you about the amazing situation of a former Rick Warren style megachurch that had basically collapsed. And the pastor left, and the whole thing had just become this Laodicean mess. And then God raised up one person within that church, and they reached out to Lori and I, and God put on their heart to put Bibles, King James Bibles, into a former Rick Warren Laodicean megachurch. And we raised money for that, and many of you donated. Thank you very much. I just want to let you know that we are scheduled for the end of this week to start delivering the first of those Bibles to the Crosswater Church here in Northeast Florida. And so we are getting ready to start putting those King James Bibles into that church. And please continue to pray for that process. Also, as far as Bibles Behind Bars is concerned, got an email from Chaplain Greg at the Burley Morton Detention Center in North Dakota. And Chaplain Greg says that they have an urgent need for 100 soft cover and medium to large print King James Bibles. And many, many jails are starting to reach out to us in 2024 because groups like Prison Fellowship are no longer sending Bibles to the smaller jails. And this is where we come in, standing in the gap. And I would love to be able to send those 100 soft cover large print King James Bibles to Chaplain Greg at the Burley Morton Detention Center in North Dakota. We need your help to do that. If you would like to help us to send those 100 large print Bibles, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link. We probably need to raise somewhere around $2,800 to do that. So please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, BiblesBehindBars.com, and make a donation to help us do that. I got about half a dozen other jails and prisons lined up this month and next month that need Bibles. And in order to get those Bibles, we need to raise more funds. So if God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a generous contribution so that we can continue our forward march to 1 million Bibles, New Testaments, gospel tracts, and scripture portions. We have passed 250,000 so far. I think that's pretty good. 250,000 just since 2021. So please pray for this ministry. And if God has prospered you, go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's start. Open up your Bibles today and let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 in your King James Bibles. And this is a passage that I read quite often when we have our prayer time. But I want to point out a couple things from this passage that may or may not be obvious to you. If you're just tuning in, my message today is on peace. If you're not saved, you have no peace with God. Every night when you close your eyes on the pillow, you know that if you don't make it through the night, it's a high likelihood that you're going to wind up in a place called hell. Hebrews chapter 10 says this: "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." And if you're not saved, you are in an adversarial relationship with God. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's a true statement. God is so not willing for you to die and go to hell that he came down here. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest image of God the Father, God in human flesh. That's Jesus Christ. And God is so interested in your salvation that he came down and took your sins upon his body on the cross and made the payment. But, that payment needs to be applied to your account. And so if you're not saved today, you have no real peace. You may put your peace in material possessions, but a flood or a hurricane or a storm or theft can easily take all those things away. If you're not saved, maybe you put your peace today in your spouse or your children. Many people tell me, well, my religion is my family. Well, it's good to love your family, but loving your family is not going to get you to heaven. And if you're not saved, you have no peace with God because you know. Now, you may not admit it to me or to anybody else, but you know if you're not saved, you have no peace with God. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I was talking with my friend Craig a couple of years ago, and he was remarking to me that somebody had said to him that they were really afraid during the pandemic. And I said, well, you should be afraid. And there's certain things that we should be afraid of. And one of those things that we should be afraid of is hell. It's a real place. It has real flames and people actually go there. You don't have to go there. Put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel and you shall be saved. But now if you are saved, you should have peace. The Bible says that you should have it. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of peace and you got saved with the gospel of peace. And yet, I see people all the time who don't seem to have the peace of God. So in Philippians chapter 4, let's just take it line by line. Philippians 4:4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And we can just stop right there for a moment. Paul says, in everything, rejoice in the Lord. Do you do that? The Bible says that when God was leading the Israelites through the desert, you know why it took 40 years? Why God didn't allow them to get to the promised land any sooner than 40 years? Well, go back and read the passages. They grumbled and they murmured and they complained. Now, you would think, well, what's the big deal? Everybody grumbles. Everybody murmurs. Everybody complains. But you don't do that with God. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not your buddy. He's not your pal. He's not the big G. He's holy and he's righteous. He's Almighty God. And the Bible says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I don't know about you, but you should be afraid of the Lord. You really should. He has complete power. He can bring anything into your life. And when you deal with a person who has that type of power, you should very rightly fear that person. You should. I can remember as a kid growing up with my four Irish, Dutch, Scottish brothers. And my dad was a World War II vet, stood a towering 6'1". And weighed about 200 pounds, and he was a no-nonsense type of dad. He loved us, there's no question about it, and I knew he loved us, but man, he could administer that rod of correction, and he was not afraid to do that. And so, you know what I developed over the years? I developed a healthy fear of my dad. And at the same time, we had a great relationship. My dad was a great guy. I love my dad with all my heart, and it was an honor and a privilege to be his caretaker in the last year of his life. But as a child, I learned to be just a little bit afraid of him as well. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Murmuring, complaining, grumbling, griping, zip it. And replace that with rejoicing. Dr. Ruckman once said that if you can't thank God for anything else, you can always thank him for your salvation. And that's a true statement. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then in verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, chances are you read a verse like that, let your moderation be known to all. And what does that even mean? Well, that verse would go very, very well with a verse like this. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. How about 1 Peter 1:13? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And of course, the Apostle Paul talks about being sober, 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So he says in Philippians 4:5, let your moderation, let your sobriety, let your seriousness be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. And then he says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about things. But, and this is what we're supposed to do. If you're saved, this is what you're supposed to do. It's not rocket science. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when Lori and I got back from our honeymoon, we were riding around St. Augustine, and we took the kids and went to go see the new Are You Saved billboard that had gone up while we were on our honeymoon. And it was big and beautiful, 40 feet long by 10 feet high, and it was just so exciting. And we took the car, and we drove right up on the grass next to the billboard, and we were so excited to be, you know, I got out and took pictures. What I didn't know that I had just driven over something sharp, and we got a flat tire. And when we got back in the car, it wasn't instantly obvious that the tire had gone flat. And here we are back from our honeymoon, beautiful summer day, so excited seeing the billboard, and now the car starts to thump, thump, thump as we ride down the street. And then my little gauge popped up in my dashboard and told me that the tire pressure in the back left tire was 33, 29, 22, 18, 10. And the whole thing went flat pretty quickly. Not only that, by the time that it got flat, I had been trying to make it to the tire store. By the time that it got flat, and here I am in the car with a wife and kids, and there's lots of traffic in downtown St. Augustine, and I'm trying to get over the Ponce de Leon Bridge. It's two lanes this way, two lanes the other way, and all of a sudden, the tire went completely and totally flat. I had a huge line of traffic sitting behind us, and people are starting to beep, and instead of cursing, pounding the dashboard, instead of yelling or doing anything like that, the best that we could, we just prayed and said, Lord, do something. And you know what God did in that situation? We drove over the bridge on a completely flat back left tire, and we pulled into the parking lot of this business, and this car that was right behind us, who I thought he was so aggravated, he pulled into the parking lot with us, and I'm like, oh boy, this guy, road rage, I have no idea what's going to happen here. And he pulls in next to us, he pops out of his vehicle, and he says, hi, my name is Matt, let me help you fix the tire. And I'm looking around for the cameras. I'm like, is somebody punking me? I mean, this is, it's like something you would read in a chick track. But yet, this happened in real life. And I believe that one of the reasons why it happened is because in the midst of that aggravating situation, I gave it to God. Now, did I do it perfectly? No. But did I curse? No. Did I yell and scream? Absolutely not. I took this very tense, stuck in traffic, how do I get the tire changed situation, and said, Lord, you do it. And he did it. And when it was done, we gave so much thanks to God. And this gentleman, young kid, really only about 25 or 26, he wouldn't take any money. I offered him a $20 bill and a gospel track. And he said, I won't take that, but I will take this. And he plucks the gospel track out of my hand. And he said to me, thank you for letting me help you. And again, the whole thing was so surreal that I almost don't believe that it happened, but I have three witnesses that it did happen. Now, what's the point of all that? Just this? Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Flat tire, broken window, broken leg, cancer, failing liver, failing kidneys, bankruptcy, lost your job, somebody broke into your house, kids are sick, but in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, does God expect you to do that perfectly? No, he doesn't. Bible says that God knows that all flesh is as grass, and how quickly do we fade like a leaf. But does God expect you to do that? He sure does. Jesus raised up the Apostle Paul to be our leader in the church age and gave him doctrine that is not a suggestion. This is how we're supposed to be living our lives. Now, will God forgive you if you get a flat tire and you're stuck in traffic and you drop a couple of F-bombs? Will God forgive you for that? Absolutely. But you're going to cheat yourself out of a blessing because you're not going to be allowing God to work and move. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, if you don't have peace today, I can almost, now, I'm not psychic and I'm not a prophet, but I know this, that the vast majority of saved people that I come across that do not have peace also are very low on gratitude. Those two things seem to go hand in hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do you thank God either silently or out loud every time you put food in your mouth? You should. And the reason why you should do that is because if you have, maybe you have a Dunkin' Donuts wake-up wrap. Maybe you have, I don't know, a cupcake from some place, or a taco, maybe whatever you have, God allowed you to have it. And if you don't think that's true, just go take a visit to any hospital and you'll see what it looks like when God starts to pull the reins up on things that he allows people to have. And a lot of the times we don't want to go to hospitals and nursing homes because we don't want to see what's waiting for us. We don't want to see what it could look like if the health that we enjoy and the food on our table and where we live and the amount of independence that we have, all of those things, God has allowed you to receive them. And when you begin to change your mindset, and you begin to look at it from that perspective, everything begins to change. And you know what happens? You begin to get grateful. You begin to get glad that you had something to eat, that you have something to drink. All you have to do is go to, well, Uganda and This ministry does a lot of work with the Good Child Missions in Uganda with our brother Irad Bairu Mumishu. My wife Lori sponsors a child, and I told Irad that I want to sponsor one today too. Whatever we can do to help, and they just had a Christmas dinner for about 5,000 kids, and 700 kids prayed to get saved, and we helped to sponsor a piece of that, and we do whatever we can. But all you have to do is go looking in places like Uganda and other spots in Africa and Asia and South America, and you'll get real grateful real fast for what it's like to live here in America. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. If you have a paper Bible, write gratitude next to that verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't it, who art man that thou art mindful of him? Can you believe that the God of the universe is willing to listen to your prayer and my prayer? That's an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but I never get over that. That the God of the universe, when I talk to him, he hears it. And not only does he hear it, he responds according to his will for me. Sometimes it's very plain and obvious. Other times it takes time to see what God's will for me in a certain situation may or may not be. We are praying about the next phase of this ministry. We're in year number 15, and God yet again is taking us to a new place in ministry, and we're excited about that. And we're praying to him, and we are putting up our prayers and supplications, and as we do, thanking him for allowing us to do these things. Do you know that witnessing to a lost person is a privilege? Do you know that giving somebody else a copy of God's Word, like what we do through the free Bible program and through Bibles Behind Bars, do you know that that is a privilege that God allows you to have? Well, it is, and you'll be rewarded for it at the judgment seat of Christ. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, be careful for nothing. And he means absolutely nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then this is what you get. In addition to whatever the answer to your prayer is. Paul says that if you, when you pray and you supplicate and you do it with the right heart, the right spirit, the right motive, the right intention, with thanksgiving, Paul says that this is what God will give you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, you can't figure it out. I can tell you what salvation is. You don't have to be a Greek and Hebrew scholar. If somebody was to stop me on the street and says, tell me what salvation is. Easy. Jesus Christ. It's a person. And then perhaps I would have the opportunity to give them the gospel. These things aren't hard to figure out. But you can't figure out some of these things. You can figure out that you're supposed to be grateful when you pray and give thanksgiving and let your prayers and requests be made known unto God. That part you can figure out. But that peace that God gives, Paul says that passes all understanding. And not only that, it is that peace that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think about your situation today, whatever your situation may be. And no, don't post it in the chat room. But I want you to think about whatever your situation may be today. I want you to think about, well, all the things that we talked about on the prayer list today. People have cancer. People are in the hospital. Some people are near death. Some are going blind. Some have financial needs. Some have job needs. Some have housing needs. Some have problems with spouses and children and aunts and uncles and sons and daughters. And there's a lot that you could be upset about. But if you want to do what Paul says all Christians are commanded to do, that's what I've been giving you in these 4 or 5 verses. You got to take it to the Lord. You got to be grateful for what God has already done for you in your life. Have you ever prayed like this? God, I just want to remind you about all the times you got me through. God, I just want to say I'm grateful today. I should be dead in hell with the door locked behind me, and yet I'm sitting here fully clothed in my right mind, and you put some kind of a roof over my head. I remember when I had my season of homelessness back in 2014, 2015. The roof that was over my head was not my roof for many months. But there was a roof over my head, and I was warm and safe and dry. And it's not an optimal situation, but God got me through. So I want you to think today about whatever it is your problem is. Whatever gripes that you might have with God. Whatever you feel that God needs to do for you that he hasn't done already. Whatever it is that you feel that he's withholding from you. And I want you to realize that you're going about it all wrong. When you come to God with gratitude and with, the Bible says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. And why? Because he is worthy. There's no other reason. He deserves it. And here's the thing, is when you do that, you know what God begins to do? He begins to set in motion a series of events that is now going to drastically change your situation. I'm not talking about that charismatic, declare it and God will give it to you. I'm not talking about that junk. What I'm talking about is taking whatever your needs are, whatever your prayer requests are, and before that you open up your mouth to ask for anything, you show God how grateful that you are for what he has already done for you. And then a funny thing starts to happen. The longer that you begin to show God how grateful that you are for what's already done, the ice begins to melt around your heart. And then you begin to realize that the reason why you don't have peace in your life, even though that you're a saved child of God, is because you have allowed a root of bitterness to pop up. You have allowed your ungrateful heart to get cold and hard. You know what a heart attack is? Simply put, I'm not a medical doctor, but a heart attack is a hard heart. I can't pronounce the word, but it's atherosclerosis. That's a tongue twister for me. I can't say that one. But the definition of a heart attack is a hardened heart. And the Bible says, let not your heart be hardened as in the provocation of the Jews provoking God in the wilderness for 40 years. You want God's peace? Paul just told you how to get it. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Isn't that what everybody wants? They just want to be at peace. They just want to be happy with what they have. They just want to be in a situation where they're not always fighting and clawing and contending and reaching and striving and doing all these different things. Isn't that the desire of every human being, saved or lost? People just want peace. They want the crime to stop. The United Nations says that they can bring peace, but all they're going to do is give a platform for the Antichrist. And there's going to be no peace until Jesus returns in this world. But the Bible says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus says. And do you realize that his victory is spotted to you? If you put your trust and faith in him, you want to have God's peace today? This is what you do. Rejoice in everything. When you come before the Lord and you pray, be grateful. Give thanksgiving. And Paul says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. I think he's talking about staying off social media. That's what he's talking about. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you were on your deathbed, and the doctor said you had 24 hours to live, would you be burning up the phone lines trying to get one more piece of your work done? Would you be worried about the stock market? Or you wouldn't be worried about any of those things. You would be worried about eternity. And if you were saved, you would know that you were going home to be with the Lord. If you were lost, you might justifiably be terrified. And Paul says, whatever things are true and honest and pure and lovely and just and of good report and filled with virtue, spend your time thinking about those things. When you get up in the morning and you have your cup of tea or your cup of coffee, do you have the Bible with that? Or do you have the news? If you want to have peace, you better start your day with the King James Bible. If you want to be whipped up into a frenzy, well, then you start your day with MSNBC.com and you'll get into a frenzy in about 45 seconds. Paul says, think on these things. Put your mind on these things. Paul talks about the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By reading the Bible. And then he says in verse 9, and I'll be done, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul says, hey, I've been modeling this Christian life for you for the past X amount of years. What, 20 years, 25 years? And Paul says, you have watched me, you have listened to me, you have read what I wrote, you have shared it with your friends. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Heavenly Father, we're glad and grateful that we have peace today. We have peace with you because we have received the payment that you made for us in your blood on the cross. And we have peace, Lord, As we watch the New World Order and the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the human implantable quantum dot vaccine delivery system and all that junk, we have peace in the midst of all those things because our hearts and our minds are stayed on you. And Lord, it is our prayer today, if there's one listening who is lost, that something would be said and done. I've already given the gospel multiple times. I'll give it one more time. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And for those of us that are saved and yet somehow don't have peace, Lord, help us to thaw out our hardened hearts, chip away the ice, lead and guide and convict, Lord, through your word, through the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that many saved people would find peace today by focusing on you and your precious promises. And God, we're glad and thankful for our NTEB family across America and around the world in 157 different countries. Lord, I never thought that you would expand it that high, and it looks like you're not done yet. And God, we're glad, we're grateful. Thank you for the work that you've given us to do. Thank you for allowing us to be part of programs like the Free Bible Program and Bibles Behind Bars. Thank you, God, for the privilege of helping to support programs like that, to send Bibles out that people might be saved. I got saved from a Bible through a Free Bible Program. And Father God, continue to be pleased to use us. And we ask you, Lord, to keep your hedge of protection about all of us here in our NTEB family and around this ministry, and lead us and guide us. And Lord, let us be a blessing in these last days. Let us continue to bring the light of the gospel of the God of peace to a lost and dying world, and to serve as a wake-up call for lukewarm Laodicean Christians, Lord. Let us pick off a couple more before the rapture, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it, for you are worthy. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Thank you for being a part of the NTEB family of Bible believers all over the world. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Should never feel the fire or shiver in the cold, but I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. Oh, and I did say don't make this world your home. I never said